Why do we have such a big electricity crisis on the African continent? Certainly in South Africa, we had the Public Enterprises Minister, Lynn Brown, today commenting and commending Eskom for keeping the lights on in South Africa for 7 months. But Peter Penner is at Michigan State University. He is fellow at the Department of Political Science at Michigan State University, looking into Africa's lack of access to reliable power supplies. Take me through it, please, Peter, if you would. Why, as a continent, the African continent does have an energy crisis?
Well, thank you, Bruce, for having me on your show, and thank you to your listeners as well. As you mentioned before, you know, electricity issues in South Africa and in other countries in Africa are a big issue. We look at just last week in Zandspruit in Johannesburg, the riots regarding electricity access and connection. And, you know, this is in the context of South Africa, but as you can imagine, South Africa being a country that is perhaps more developed than many of the other African countries, struggle even greater with electricity challenges. And part of the reason is that it's sort of a three-step process in electrifying countries. On the first part of the process is extending the grid. So that's an infrastructural component that's key in the process. The second part is getting the grid and that infrastructure to individual households. So that's sort of the second step. And then the final step is the step that people perhaps in South Africa are most interested in, is the reliable supply of that energy. And so a government has to be able to succeed at all three things. And obviously different countries in Africa have various different challenges in each of those areas: grid extension, connection to the household, and reliable supply.
I mean, as South Africans, we've been spoiled for decades with excess energy. We had big investments in energy provision through the 1980s into the 1990s, and then we stopped because we had an idea of a public-private partnership. That was then put on hold. We hit crisis in 2008, but we're seeing this notion of the public-private partnership come to the fore once again, whether it be through nuclear partnerships or whether it be through renewable partnerships. Is that a trend across this continent?
To some degree, yes. And a number of different developments are happening in different countries. And the project in which we are involved in here at Michigan State and on the continent of Africa is the Afrobarometer Project. And this is a project that is pan-African, it's nonpartisan, and it really looks at citizens' views of access to electricity. So, for example, the most recent round in 2014 and 2015 interviewed citizens of Africa in 36 different countries. So that's a total of 54,000 different interviews. So we get a sense of what citizens are saying about that, and I'll talk a bit more about that. But in terms of the government policy level, as you point out, it's very different across different countries. As many of your listeners know, South Africa has an integrated resource plan for electricity. It's updated every 2 years, and it's sort of a vision for where South Africa energy needs will be through 2030. And it's obviously, it shows, as you mentioned, a mix of diversification of energy, of coal energy that's presently there, investments in nuclear, and those investments are being helped by partnerships, both, you know, public and private, but also international partnerships, Finland, France, and China involved. And, you know, obviously the importation of electricity as well. So it's a mix, and it's very varied across different countries based on, you know, natural resource wealth and other factors that are there.
I mean, Africa has several things in abundance. There are many parts of the continent that have got really good rivers and really powerful hydroelectric potential. Others are blessed with sunshine. We could have all of the solar panels in the world stretched across vast African deserts and open spaces, and we get lots of energy from that. But there's a huge amount of pressure, a huge amount of vested interest attached to nuclear projects, for example. Is the future inevitably going to be nuclear on this continent?
It's not necessarily going to be nuclear. I mean, there are great investments in renewable energies that are taking place. And you mentioned the hydroelectric power, and South Africa has some interest in hydroelectric power, not only in South Africa, but in neighboring SADC countries that's taking place, partnerships on that level. And there's a big push in general towards renewable energy. The United States government and Barack Obama has you know, started this Power African initiative run by USAID, and it helps to capacitate public and private partnerships and move sort of that renewable energy agenda forward. The issue that I have with renewable energy overall is that, you know, a lot of governments use renewable energy in sort of small energy generating processes such as solar power or wind power, and on a very small level. The problem with that is that sometimes it creates very uneven electrification. So a particular village or area has access to some solar power at a particular period of time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it will be reliable over a long period of time. So renewable energy is really being pursued on both a macro level, as you're alluding to, but also these micro level projects. And my concern about the micro level projects is that they need to be brought in and systematized at the national level.
So when we look at our energy futures, are you optimistic, Peter? I mean, you look at all this research, you look at all the people you speak to across this continent of ours. We need greater cross-border cooperation. We need countries to be helping each other through tough energy times.
Yes, we do. I mean, some things to point out from the Afrobarometer survey, I just want to give your listeners a picture a bit. You know, 66% of Africans that are surveyed in 36 countries have access to the electric grid, which means that a number of countries and a number of people do not even have access to the grid. So that's a major infrastructural challenge. Obviously, South Africa is very much 95% of the country is connected to the grid. So that's good. That reliable supply question, there are many concerns that are in some of these numbers. For example, in Nigeria, 96% are connected to the grid, so the infrastructure is there, but only 18% have power more than half of the time, and similar numbers for Ghana as well. And in South Africa, your listeners may be more interested in, 14% of South Africans are connected to the grid, but suggest that electric supply is never or only occasionally works, which means that a part of the population does think that it works and almost all the time, but still 14% of the population is big. And those numbers are considerably higher when we look across regions of South Africa. So Limpopo, 37% of those suggest that electricity is never or only works occasionally, although they're connected to the grid, and 28% in KwaZulu-Natal. So these are very, you know, concerning numbers in the regional variation just in South Africa. And as your listeners can imagine, that country level variation is present. However, on the other hand, I do remain optimistic that partnerships, mainly empowering African governments as well as the citizens who are, you know, going into energy research and energy sector areas, can really contribute and innovate in these areas of energy. And I think there's a great potential for that. And so when I look at these number of these national development plans, such as South Africa's, we really want to make sure that they're not necessarily relying on foreign countries to, you know, those particular investments, but also mobilize the citizens and the African states that are there to build capacity around an energy generating economy.
Peter Penner, we must leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this evening from Michigan State University, where he's the Department of Political Science, Peter Penner. And it comes out of the Conversation Africa's Energy and Environment publication. And the Conversation Africa, they're really good at taking lots of academic research and translating it into language that we can understand. And big research being done across the globe into many of the, dare we use the word, challenges that we face. Another one of those challenges coming up in the next half hour, talking water and business risk. But first, Tara Penny with the latest Eyewitness News.